Ralph, I see our resident lawyer friend is not here with us this morning. So I know he's got a good sense of humor, and I had a few lawyer jokes that I'm going to tell. I'll make sure I pass them on to him. Now, what's the difference between a lawyer and a herd of buffalo? The lawyer charges more. What's the problem with lawyer jokes? Lawyers don't think they're funny, and no one else thinks they're jokes. And why won't sharks attack lawyers? Professional courtesy. I know. Last one. What do you have when a lawyer is buried up to his neck in sand? Not enough sand. Well, it may not be appropriate, I suppose, in one sense, to be telling bad lawyer jokes from a pulpit on a Sunday morning, but there's one thing that we can agree on, it seems, at least with this particular occupation. There is a stereotypical kind of perception of a lawyer. It's a tough job for lawyers to interpret. I was going to say bend, but that's not what I mean. Interpret the law in areas that pose true ethical dilemmas many times for them. It's a struggle, especially if they're in criminal law, to understand what it is. And we all watch lawyer shows on TV, but the reality is, for lawyers, it is a very tough job. They have to determine, sometimes change and often weed out the truth that's buried deep within vaguely worded laws. Truth for lawyers, unfortunately, can be a moving target and hard to aim at and take down. And this morning, I want us to consider not just a truth about life, but something very fundamental in our Christian life and faith. We want to consider the truth about life as we consider Jesus' words in the Gospel of John and in his replies to Pilate in particular. And as we do, let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray the words of my mouth and meditation of my mind will be acceptable to you and to your people this day. Help us, Lord, to consider that very definite small article, that little word, the, in Jesus' statements about truth. We pray this in his name. Amen. Now, as I said, today is a special Sunday for a number of reasons. It's a Sunday that will be remembered by some and not so much by others. Today is the special Sunday partly because it's the last Sunday of the church's liturgical, the church's calendar year. This Sunday is known, as I've been referencing, as Christ the King Sunday, the Feast of Christ the King, the Reign of Christ, whatever titles, they all mean the same. Next Sunday then would be the first Sunday of our church year, and would also be, as was mentioned as well, the first Sunday in our Advent season. And many of you may not know that this Sunday is known as Christ the King Sunday because lots of churches don't mention it. We do at least mention it since I've been here, I know. But I know in the churches that I spent time in as a younger person and whatnot, Christ the King Sunday was not mentioned much in church. This particular day was actually an agreement set up by churches around the world pretty much in 1925. And the point of this particular title for this Sunday is that nations would see that the church has the right to freedom and immunity from the state, that leaders and nations would see that they are bound to give respect to Christ, and lastly, that the faithful would gain strength and courage from the celebration of this feast as we are reminded that Christ must reign in our hearts, minds, wills, and bodies. And as I reflected on those concepts in particular, church has the right to freedom and immunity from the state, I had a direction that I was feeling I wanted to go in this particular message, and then something touched me, the Spirit of God, something that's been on my mind for some time, something that's difficult to even speak from the pulpit in this day and age. And it's not the first time this has happened. And a particular gentleman's name came to mind. Some of you may know this name, others it might be new. The name is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a Christian theologian. He was born in 1906, and he died on the 9th of April, 1945. He was imprisoned because of his stand on this issue today of Christ being the King, that the church has the right to freedom and immunity from the state. And he was imprisoned most of the war. He was imprisoned before the war even began. He wrote while he was in prison, wrote a lot of books, and a lot of things have been published after his death. He was going to be set free, but as many prisoners, especially political and religious prisoners, were treated, April 9th, 1945, the Germans knew the war was ending, and they put him to death. He was outspoken in so many ways about Christ the King, that the church has the right to freedom and immunity from the state. He spoke openly and very loudly, knowing he would be imprisoned, because he spoke on many things, but in particular today's focus, two scriptures. One from John 18 that we read today. You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We live in an age today when it's difficult for a minister of any denomination, as it seems, some more than others, to interpret what those words mean. Bonhoeffer lost his life over it. The German Nazi Party that was involved from pre-war, from 33 on, told the church what they could believe. And if they decided not to agree, they were imprisoned or put to death immediately. The Nazi Party said that any church leaders, ministers, priests, elders, who had any Jewish background in anywhere in their history could no longer be a part of the church. And fortunately, many of them disappeared. The church did not stand behind them. Bonhoeffer, one of them. We live in a world today where there are many ways, it seems, and many denominations and many people want to interpret that scripture from John 14 this way. Jesus said, I am a way and a truth and a life. Anyone comes to the Father, period. It's hard in the world in which we live to say that our King is the only King, that our King is Jesus, and that Jesus' words alone say that He is the truth, He is the way, and He is the life. I have colleagues in this denomination and others who would have problems with me making this statement today. In fact, I can lose some friends knowing that I'm making this statement today. And it may seem trivial to many of you, because if you've grown up in the church, as we all have in many ways, we take it for granted that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We just take it for granted. That's it. But we are being pressured from outside constantly, folks, as a church, not as a denomination, as a church with a capital C, to give up that statement that Jesus makes to Pilate and that he makes in John 14. We are being pressured. We are being pressured to believe all things get us to where we need to go. It's why very often I try to dispel the concept, or put to side, maybe is the better way to put it, the concept of heaven. Because when we want to get just to get to heaven after we die, it's easy then to say that there is all kinds of ways and all kinds of truths and all kinds of different lifestyles that will get us there. Because that's all that life's about. And Jesus is not saying that. It's a fundamental difference between this faith, as I've been pointing out, especially as we approach Christmas, and then right after that, Easter. The Christian faith is all about King Jesus. It's all about His kingship. It's all about Him being the way, the truth, and the life. And it's a hard one to swallow, especially when there is pressure from outside. Pressure that is against the statement of why we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, that first one I read to you. That nations would see that the church has a right to freedom and immunity from the state. That they cannot tell us what to believe. And yet, it's happening. You know, when you get into arguments, especially when you get into arguments in social media, you know the argument is going nowhere fast as soon as somebody mentions either Hitler or Nazis, because then just people start calling each other names. You know, oh, you're just Nazis. You're just like Hitler. And then the conversation's over. There's a problem with that, because we're making that a minor thing. A lot of you are old enough here to remember what that world was like. A lot of you in this room are old enough to remember what that world entailed. They had an iron fist that said, this is what you're going to believe about everything, not just your religion, about everything. And if you don't want to believe this, you're out. And out meant some horrifying things for some people. My statement today about King Jesus for us to be considering as we move into Advent is a deadly serious one, folks. That nations would see that the church has the right to freedom and immunity from the state, and that we will believe what God tells us to believe as we see it in Scripture. And not what we're being told by the world. People aren't being imprisoned yet. And I'm not trying to be raise scare tactics here by that. But it's subtle right now. It's subtle right now. And the Presbyterian Church, like other churches, the Baptist Church, pick a denomination. What's the big struggle today? Yeah, nobody's going to say it out loud. Sexual orientation. It's the word that nobody wants to talk about. And I'm not talking about it today. But it's that kind of pressure that we're getting. It's going to come down to a point of choose either a way or the way. It's happened before. It will happen again. But the hope that we have, the promise that we have, is that King Jesus is in fact King Jesus. And as we read in Revelation, He is here to reign forever. And those who know His voice will hear it and obey it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer had to make a hard choice in his life that he knew would cause his life to be ended. He never saw his family again. And I know other people, personally other people, who were imprisoned during the war and never saw their families again. Or, in two cases, when they finally did, it was on their deathbeds. They spent years in prison. Jesus is King. Jesus is King of all of us. And let us remember that He loves us and forgives us and embraces us, just like demonstrated with the children today, as members of His family. Amen. Sisters and brothers, we worship the One who stands at the beginning and at the end of history, the God for whom all time is now. Every day we have a chance to participate in the work that God is doing in this world. So by bringing our gifts each week, by offering our lives each day, we affirm our trust in a power beyond violence, beyond greed. Let us gladly now offer who we are and what we hold in service to God with our offerings and tithes.